Microsoft and Sony hungry?
How many game companies can you fit on that plate?
What games would you like to replay again for the first time?
Let's get those cogs turning! Alright. What's up, Dirt?
Who are you?
I am your conscience.
Oh, fuck. Get the hell out of here.
And your conscience just left you.
Outstanding. No conscience.
Woo. To you and the rest of the world.
Good luck.
So, what you been doing? I know it's been like 3 weeks now.
What have I been up to? Well, it's February. We just celebrated our official 10-year anniversary.
Still on that, because it's still 10 years. We don't give a shit. It's 10 years. 10 years.
But on January 15th, we celebrated the day we created Paradigm Gaming.
Yes, with Jackbox. And it was glorious.
We were originally trying to play Resident Evil 6, but we ran into some technical difficulties.
You ran into some audio issues. I'm just kidding.
Well, it's true. I did. Every time I turned the game on, it would cut your audio out. You couldn't hear me, but I could hear you.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it went.
Yeah, that was terrible. When we finally get back to that game, I don't think we'll be playing that on PC.
Noted. I have it on PS4/5.
So do I.
Yeah.
I think this will work out. But the event was great. The stream was great. We had a great turnout, and it was a great celebration overall.
And many hilarity had.
Oh, yes. I got fucked up.
Yes, you did.
I got tanked on stream.
That's okay. You weren't drunk. You could have another shot, and we're like, no. No, you can't. And you're like, yeah, I can. I'm not even as bad as I normally is.
I was celebrating,
and
man.
And Gertrude's like, you've had enough.
She was. And she was right. I had a pretty bad hangover the next day.
This is why we listen to the waifus.
Yes. Yes. Now, lesson learned. Lesson learned. But I had a lot of fun. And
that's all that matters.
It is. And a lot of people, we had raffles. A lot of people won some cool stuff.
We did.
Yeah. Do you remember?
Yeah. No, I think I blacked out that night. I don't remember anything.
Really?
No, I thought I was not really.
I thought I was the drunk one. Like, what's going on?
I have memory loss.
Well, that's okay. We'll blame COVID.
The
COVID brain.
Deltacron XXX variant.
Yes. Omicron. Ultron.
Destroys your memory and you can't remember who the fuck you are.
They do say that memory loss is a real thing. Or either your brain's all foggy like.
That makes sense.
Kind of like what Tita says in Final Fantasy X.
I got too close to sin, and my head's all foggy-like.
It's kind of how it goes. But beyond that, just been working and plugging away in a lot of 10-year celebration videos.
Yes, many of them. And what else have you been getting done? DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
DVDs.
DVD. Yes. I have been burning discs like crazy for the Extra Life donators. That also includes the winners of the DVDs for the... we had a raffle for our 10-year stream.
Yes.
I got those finished, too. So oh, I'm going to be sending those out very soon.
So that means we'll be getting our copy.
Yes. Yes. Actually, I've been building you guys a care package because... Well, you left a lot of stuff that you wanted. Rain won the DVDs, and I'm throwing a couple more things in there.
I just left the VR head strap and my mask.
Yes, and I do have those in a box.
Yay.
Yeah, so I'll be mailing those out pretty soon. If not this weekend, definitely the beginning of the week. It will go out faux show.
No rushes.
Oh, cool. I'll do it in a month then.
It's already been six.
Fair enough.
What's another month?
What's another month? Exactly. What about you? What have you been up to, sir? I hear you've been dealing with internet issues again.
Again, but hopefully it works out now. We'll see. I have the most finest grain of salt in belief in it'll be fixed, but they went a different route this time and did a very 80s/early 90s fix on our lines. They put a splitter on the wire to lessen the output it does because it's splitting the signal. It's basically capping out the data that it's putting through the line, and then it's screwing everything up. So they put a splitter on it to basically half that out. So if it does spike, it doesn't cap out the amount that it's getting. So now they apparently moved, like, we're getting all of our stuff out to Virginia now, I guess, rather than running through a node at Texas or in Dallas. But we'll see.
Trial and error, I guess.
Or just never use Cox if you have the ability not to.
Do you guys have alternatives?
No. We have AT&T, which is 25 down and 5 up.
Ew.
Yeah, for more money.
AT&T needs to get with the 21st century. Oh my god.
Well, they have fiber, it's just not in our area.
Ew.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. That sucks.
Cox tends to take after their namesake. And then I tweeted about it earlier in the week, and they were like, what is your address? And we'd like to help you. So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to leave it the way it is now. Don't worry about it. We got a tech already scheduled. I'm not going to go through all the same song and dance we've been doing for the past 5 months.
They seem very courteous in that tweet and the response tweet.
And I was passive aggressive.
Well, you guys have been dealing with this for how long?
5 to 6 months since they moved in.
Yeah, I would see why you would still be upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, man. Okay.
Aside from that, playing games, I'm almost done with Doom Eternal.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
I've been playing that the past today.
The past today? That's awesome.
I've slowly been playing it over the past year since I got it, and I just haven't gotten around to just sitting down and beating it. But I got a good distance into it today, and I'm on the last part where it actually tells you, you cannot go anywhere else or do anything else. This is the last part of the game, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, okay. Well, cool.
I'm finally playing the Doom that takes place before Eternal. Doom 2016.
That's a good one. I feel like you have ammo at all times in that game. In Eternal, you don't. And sometimes it's frustrating because you run out of ammo and you have the chainsaw, but you can't use the chainsaw on bigger enemies. So all you can do is punch them and it does no damage. It's like, it's frustrating.
Yeah, I feel you. I always liked Doom. I just finally sat down and went, you know what, I'm going to play this. They had a sale on PlayStation, and I said, why not?
Oh, they're great. They're amazing. I like the new ones.
I absolutely love Doom 3 on the original Xbox.
Plus, the music's badass.
Oh, absolutely. It just makes you just want to just...
rip and tear, baby.
That's right. Pedal to the metal, drive really fast on the freeway.
Yes. Whatever you are doing.
Well, if you're listening to the soundtrack of the car, you kind of want to drive faster. It's inspiring.
Well met. Aside from that, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm hyped about Lost Ark.
Yes, you are. When are we playing this?
Next week.
Awesome.
I mean, it comes out on the 8th, so that's Tuesday.
Okay, can I just say something? I go into Discord, right? And then you post like, hey, I want to play Lost Ark. Who's interested? And I read that and I'm like, okay, Derp's wanting to play a game with people. What the hell's Lost Ark? And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to need you to sell this to me. And you're like, okay. Posted videos. I said, check this out. I watched it. I'm going, oh, this is nothing like what I expected. This actually looks freaking cool. I think I want in.
Then he went in and bought it.
Yeah, long story short, he sold it to me, and I got the Silver Pack Founders Edition or whatever. So it's a free-to-play game, but I decided to buy some extra perks.
And he didn't even realize he gets a head start 3 days early.
I did not. Derp even created a couple of Discord channels for Lost Ark because it's blowing up. Everybody wants to join. And this is awesome. I'm
peddling it like I usually do.
Yeah, but this time, this game, something about it just grabbed my attention, and I'm like, all right, I'm in.
Well, the fact it's free does help.
I never really care about the free-to-plays, because you're going to end up spending money in it anyway, at some
probably
point. Yeah, on perks or outfits or gear or whatever. You know, down the road, you might even pick up something. I mean, everybody these days is playing Genshin Impact, and that's free-to-play, but I told myself I'm not getting into that game. But this one I'm interested in.
Yeah, you should get Gertrude to play it, too.
No, she's way too into Genshin, and I'm not. I'm good.
But she could play with her loving and adoring husband.
I would rather play with you.
Oh, giggity.
Come on, you and me, co-op. We've been talking about doing this forever. Finally, there's a game out that you really want to play that I'm interested in. So let's go. Run it.
So the question is, are we playing Tuesday together or are we playing the actual release day?
No, we'll play Tuesday together right after I get off work. Even at work, I'll make sure it's downloaded and ready to go and all that. And then we'll
just download it Monday night.
Yeah,
because
I'll download it Monday.
It's available
night.
For download Monday.
Perfect. And then let's give it a test run on Tuesday, and then official launch day on Friday, time willing and depending on what our schedules are. Maybe we even stream it. I don't know.
Okay.
I just think that would be awesome.
Yes. I'm down for all of this.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, hype. Lost Ark. 1 week.
Lost Ark.
1 week. And
I do find it funny you were thinking of our name should be Raiders of the.
Yeah, I put that in there as a joke. Raiders of the. That's a good name.
For what? For what game? Lost Ark.
Raiders of the. Of the what? Lost Ark.
So you're thinking guild name be Paradigm?
Yeah, just straight up.
Paradigm? Not even the Paradigm, just Paradigm?
Yeah, just Paradigm.
All right, cool. I'm down. I like it.
All the best guild names are the smallest and singular words, usually. Not that we'll be the best guild, but hey, we got the best name.
I'm just going to go into this thing blind. I want a giant sword, and I want to slaughter everything in sight. So everything else is just candy.
Yeah, more than likely, I'll have the guild ready before you get home from work.
Okay, perfect. I know you're probably going to get most of the details out of the way. I guess I just had the easy job of figuring out what my name's going to be called and what my character's going to be.
Lord of Sploosh.
Was that what everyone said? I should be Lord of Sploosh?
Yeah, that or Sploosh Lord, just because you can't capitalize anything after the first letter.
Sploosh Lord. That sounds epic. I like Sploosh Lord. Why not? Why not? Most people be like, what's that?
as long as it's still available by the time you get home, right?
Well, I have two options available. Sploosh Lord or Water or Lord of the Sploosh or Lord of Sploosh. I don't know anybody else on this planet who would have a name like that, but I guess you'd be surprised.
Yeah, Sploosh Lord I could see actually being taken.
Really? Okay. All right. Whatever. We'll figure it out. It'll be fine.
Yep.
I like it.
But just remember, don't delete your character if you want to keep the name, because you can't keep the name. It auto-deletes the name.
I never really delete characters, so yeah, that's fine.
I just wanted to hype up Lost Ark. Everyone join us.
Oh, there is something I kind of want to hype up that I think is really cool. I know everyone in Discord kind of knows this by now, but I thought it'd be cool to talk about this in the podcast. But I'm officially part of the Sacramento Extra Life Guild. And what that means is I help Sacramento Extra Life and the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals for UC Davis raise money for kids. And I've been raising money for UC Davis since I started doing Extra Life.
Yeah.
But now I'm part of a guild with people in charge at UC Davis who are basically trying to get all of our streamers together to be part of a
community.
Exactly. So once a month, I stream on the Sacramento Extra Life Twitch channel. And I think it's really cool. I signed up for Extra Life really early this year instead of waiting till November. And we've been playing Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds on the 3DS, and I've been having a blast. It's just fun.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that the team was created as soon as possible. I made it, like, on the 3rd.
Yeah, I do appreciate that, absolutely. So that way everybody can sign back up. But, yeah, I just wanted to give a shout-out to Sacramento Extra Life for thanking them. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of this, and I'm glad to be able to contribute my time for what time that I can and play games and raise awareness for kids who need help. And it's fun. Yeah.
Golf clap.
Yeah. Golf clap. Golf clap. Oh, and my incentives are up. You can now get an incentive. You can choose if you want to get the Paradigm Gaming DVD again.
Nice.
I have seasons 1 through 5 available right now. Season 6, I'm not going to have available until I know that everybody who donated for Extra Life last November gets their copies first, because I did promise them that would be exclusive to them first.
Yes.
So as soon as I mail everything out, then I'll have season 6 available. But yeah, you can buy the whole box set, or you can do individual DVDs throughout the year. And I'm excited to continue that. I think it's really cool that I can help raise money for kids, and then everybody can still get a piece of Paradigm Gaming history. And I think it's fitting for our 10-year anniversary.
Good man.
Yeah, but that's...
I mean, I know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to wait until I make sure I can actually do it. But
I still like your idea, so when you're ready, I'm excited to see where that goes.
Yes.
But other than that, that's all I got extra.
Hoo-ah!
So, the past couple weeks have been pretty interesting, though, with the acquisitions of major companies eating up other companies.
Yeah, what the hell is going on out there? Seriously, everyone just be eating everybody up, buying everything in sight?
But we obviously know about the recent ones, Microsoft and Sony, devouring their
companies. Yeah, go ahead. No, Yeah, I'm just sorry. I'm just so, like, amped up for this topic because Microsoft is literally buying the world. You remember when Microsoft became so big that they had to be split into two companies?
Yeah, and I think that's, like, the reason the governmental branch that does all the checking of their the businesses.
Yeah, trying whatever to make that sure that they don't turn into monopolies.
The FTC or whatever the S...
You were right. It is the Federal Trade Commission. It's the FTC.
Okay, FTC. But anyways, they're going to be checking in on the thing and they're changing up the rules. And this came out the second that Microsoft and Activision came up with their offer to buy one or whatever for Microsoft to buy Activision. Like the second that happened, government went, nope, we're going to change up the reason for or what we expect out of companies when these big deals go through. Like all of a sudden, we're going to change the rules. Sorry.
Yeah.
Which it's still going to happen. I'm sure it's still going to happen. It's just, it's funny how they came out and said they're changing up the rules the second this happened.
Yeah, I did find that really funny too. And that's what's crazy. Basically, Microsoft acquired Activision Blizzard, and I was researching this, $68.7 billion.
Yeah. And the only one that was closest to that at the time was the recent one, also Take-Two, bought Zynga.
Oh, that's right. The company that owns Grand Theft Auto. Take-Two Interactive owns Rockstar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I thought you were talking about Zynga, and I was like, wait, what?
It was interesting, because when Take-Two got Zynga, and what exactly are they going to do with those kind of games? I'm like, well, I could see them implementing all those little teeny tiny mission story mission games and put those into Grand Theft Auto. I don't know. It's going to add more content. I don't know.
I just figured they were buying Zynga, so they're just going to, you know, like, make Farmville cross with GTA for some Grand Theft Pony or something like that.
Grand,
you know?
Grand Theft Pony. What? Wow. My Little Grand Theft.
Grand Theft Mustang.
Here, you know what's crazy, though? In 2022, this year, Microsoft's acquiring Activision Blizzard. Last year, Microsoft acquired ZeniMax Media / Bethesda Softworks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that.
They acquired them for $7.5 billion.
That's why all their games are on Game Pass.
Absolutely. And then in 2019, Microsoft acquired Double Fine Productions, the developer of Psychonauts 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2018, they had a shopping spree. They got Compulsion Games, creator of We Happy Few.
Mm-hmm.
Ninja Theory, creator of the Hellblade series. They got Obsidian Entertainment. They did The Outer Worlds.
Yeah, and Fallout New Vegas.
Yes, my favorite Fallout ever. They also got In Exile Entertainment that does Wasteland 3, and Playground Games that did Forza Horizon series, and Undead Labs that did State of Decay series. That was all in 2018.
They were all smaller indie companies, though.
True.
I think they just bought them up as an indie group, like sort of like how Square Enix had their collective.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sony went and bought up a bunch of indie games that built under them, and yeah.
Yeah, because Square Enix also, like, they are owning, Crystal Dynamics and Eidos?
Yeah, or Eidos, whatever the hell it is. We'll get yelled at for our pronunciations. It's all good. We don't care.
Words are hard. I made an effort.
I think it's Eidos, but I'm probably wrong.
In 2014, Microsoft acquired Mojang?
Oh, Minecraft.
The owners of Minecraft, and they spent $2.5 billion.
Yeah, but that was one of the biggest ones then.
Oh, it was.
And really, it was super overpriced, I think, at the time, too, but...
Do you know how many people play Minecraft, though?
Oh, yeah. I know.
It's huge. Absolutely
I haven't installed
huge.
On my computer again just so I could mod it and make it look pretty and never play it.
My favorite thing that Microsoft acquired was in 2002, well, the year we graduated high school. They acquired Rare.
Rare? Oh, yeah, that's when they brought out the Rare collection, right? Or somewhere after that?
So they acquired Rare in 2002. They spent $375 million. But they didn't use them for games. They eventually came out with the Rare collection, but that was for Xbox One.
Yeah.
So Rare was behind they made all the avatars for the Xbox 360.
That makes sense, I guess. But I thought they did more than that. Then they just bought them out and were like, here, sit for a while.
Well, they did do Conquer Live and Reloaded for the original Xbox.
Okay.
But when it came to like full-blown games, I don't really feel like they utilized them until the Xbox One came out. I mean, they were not exactly that. When the Xbox 360 came out, because they did Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts and Viva Pinata.
Which, those games are great.
And Perfect Dark Zero.
Viva Pinata. Perfect Dark Zero's meh.
I remember you loved Viva Pinata.
I did love Viva Pinata. I still love Viva Pinata, which you can play now on your Xbox Game Pass. Not a sponsor, but it's on the gaming cloud.
So, Derp, I gotta ask you, though. Microsoft buying the world. What are your thoughts? What do you feel? What are you feeling about all this?
There's still a lot of companies out there. Everyone is so worried that they're buying up all the companies. Like, you do realize how many companies there are in the world, right? Just in the U.S. alone, they're just buying up a big company. They bought up a powerhouse. That's about it. And that was because we all know what Activision has been going through for the past 8 months now.
Yeah, all of the walkouts, the protests, the sexual allegations, the harassment, the toxic work environment.
The stealing booby milk from the fridge.
Well, okay, when we've been hearing nothing but all of this horrible shit coming from Activision Blizzard, and we're just like, what the fuck is going on at these studios? And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Microsoft's just like, all right, we're buying this company. And part of me was like, yeah, clean house.
And realistically, they got it at a killer deal. Like, they bought it at the perfect time.
I think they did. I think it was like, okay, if you guys aren't going to fix your shit, then we're just going to buy your shit, and then you're going to have to answer to us. And that's exactly what Phil Spencer said in his letter, saying that they're going to, you know, once the acquisition is done, these companies have to report to me. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I can see it being a very good thing for Activision and Blizzard, because I'm a huge Blizzard fan, not so much Activision. Like, COD is cool in that, but I'm...
Sure.
I'm all about Blizzard. I've loved Blizzard's games since Warcraft 1. And I used to play Starcraft, the original, and yeah, my first actual PC game from them was Diablo.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever that first released, I played Diablo on my first computer that I built. I'm a Blizzard fan, but the past year's been pretty rough. But I do feel that it's a good thing for the company, as long as they can fix the current problems that plague them. Because we get that good old Bobby, is
Bobby Kotick.
He's a big problem, and he's probably shitting his pants a little, wishing he had taken the severance that he was going to get if he had left, rather than trying to stay, because he may not get much at this point.
Yeah. But I've been reading about this for a while now, and there's been a lot of reports that saying when the acquisition deal is completed and it's done, he's probably going to leave, which is fine.
I don't think he's going to make it that far.
I hope he would have left yesterday. The guy is a maniac.
Yeah.
To put it nicely.
The problem, like, I don't think he's going to be able to. Like, I know he probably doesn't care, but at the same time, he's breaking. Like, there was a 30-minute fireside chat, which is what they call the Blizzard meetings. And there was a 30-minute fireside chat he was 9 minutes late for, and then wanted to stop it early. Because he wasn't liking the questions and he couldn't give straight answers because he didn't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, and I also have been reading that he hasn't been taking a lot of these union meetings seriously.
Yeah, no, he's not.
I think everyone's just tired of reading about all this. It's just, he just needs to go.
Yep, and he's not going to get half of what he could have gotten if he had just taken the severance and left. He was thinking he could get through unscathed, and that's not looking very good. And if he does get out unscathed, yeah, it'll suck, but at least he's still going to be gone.
Yeah, either way, I mean, there's an exit, so...
Like, he's not the only one to blame there, but he has control.
Yeah, at this point, I can only hope that it could just get... It only gets better from here.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe Microsoft bringing it to PC, they'll do ports of stuff. I don't know.
But... Well, I would imagine that they would continue the PC thing, because Microsoft and Windows is a thing. And they've been... The Game Pass is really popular on the PC as much as it is on the Xbox.
Yeah, that's another thing. Could you imagine WoW being on the Game Pass? Like, not having to pay the monthly subscription, just being able to play WoW if you have the Xbox Game Pass?
That is enticing.
Right?
That is very enticing.
Like, you just pay the 10 to 15 bucks a month, depending, to get the Game Pass Ultimate, 15 bucks, you get all the other games along with a WoW subscription?
Yeah.
That would be epic.
And
except, you know, not epic, because we're talking about Microsoft.
I will say, when it comes to Microsoft owning just about everything... They, over the last couple of years, you start to see some of their properties show up on other systems, like Cuphead's on Switch. and Halo's becoming big on PC, but we all know Microsoft owns Windows, but they're taking PC gaming more seriously, which is cool. And a lot of these companies already have deals going through with other, like PlayStation and so forth, but I feel that, I would imagine they would be honoring the contracts to a certain point, but they'd have some exclusives for their systems, and then other things they would bring over to others. Like, I don't see Call of Duty becoming, exclusive only to Microsoft. I could be wrong, but
the thing about Microsoft is it can't be exclusive. Like, it's still going to be on PC and Xbox, so it's still technically not an exclusive.
True.
It may not be on Sony. It may not be on PlayStation anymore if they decide to go that route, but you can play it on PC or Xbox.
It does make it hard, though, because to me, PC and Xbox are practically one and the same, at least when you look at it from a Game Pass perspective.
And I've always had that feeling of the Xbox is just a gigantic paperweight to me.
Yeah.
I have a PC that can run everything. I get it's easier access for the people who can't get a computer, which works is fine. It's a cheaper alternative, but it's just how much money they put into the Xboxes. I feel like they're not going to make back as much as they could have if they had exclusives on the system.
Yeah, no, I agree. And they even came out and said at some point that they're, you know, if you want an Xbox, get one. If not, that's fine. At least you have a platform you can choose from.
I mean, they have enough money to cover it, that's for sure. But nah, it is what it is.
Yeah, I got to sneeze.
Bless you. Moo cow.
Did you just say moo cow?
Yes, I just said moo cow.
I haven't heard that in years, and I think that took me straight back to 8th grade.
Did it hurt?
Yes, because I was thinking about it as I was sneezing.
Did you just quantum leap yourself for about 2 seconds?
And hoping each time that his next leap would be the leap home.
Yeah, thank God I made my way back, but holy shit. How'd you travel through time? Moo cow! Well, long story short, Microsoft buying all these companies, while I think it's cool, I'm a little cautious on how they're going to proceed going forward, but when it comes to Activision Blizzard, I'm excited to see what's going to come out of all of this, like, just negative toxicity of those companies.
Yeah.
And when they finally become part of the Microsoft branch, I want to see what's going to change. I think that's what I'm mostly interested in. I'm always going to be excited for new games, but I don't know. My heart is rooted in video games and its culture and this industry. And when you see a lot of people hurting in this industry, it really hurts me to read it. So seeing change excites me.
I just really hope it gets back to normal. Like, I want the golden days of Blizzard back, because they have just been on a downhill track, and the initial coming out of all the allegations and everything was just the, like, oh, this shit's been going on for a while. No wonder they've been going to shit.
But then we got our good friends Sony and their PlayStation-ness.
And another evil corporation, but we love Sony.
We love Sony.
Sony makes amazing first-party games.
Yes, they do. I love Sony. And they make great movies, too. They own Ghostbusters, so I can't hate them.
Well met. They also own Spider-Man, sort of.
Yeah, they have the licensing for him, and they are holding on to that with dear life.
Good.
That's fine. I do love the Spider-Man game, too. That was amazing.
I still haven't seen the new one.
It's so good.
I've heard.
It's probably my top third favorite Marvel movie of all time.
Top third?
Top third, top three, whatever. Words are hard.
But anyways, Sony took in a lovable company.
Called Bungie.
I've been there. I tested Destiny back in the day before it released.
What was it like?
It was like a cubicle room. A bunch of it was like, dude, perfect description of the testing area. It was like high school lab.
Really?
Like computer lab.
Oh my god.
Straight up. But they were with computers that could like play Fallout games and not like have any issues. It's just like, man, this is eerie. It feels like high school again.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know what's funny though? Bungie used to be a part of Microsoft and they did Halo. And then Bungie became their own publisher developer. And now the Halo game people are now part of PlayStation. And it's also funny when I think about it, Crash Bandicoot used to be a part of PlayStation, but now it's a part of Microsoft because of the Activision acquisition.
Yep. They were never full Crash Bandicoot was never fully owned by Sony. They just kind of used him as a mascot for a while.
But what you would associate an icon like that with PlayStation all the time. So I find it very just kind of ironic in a weird way that they swapped companies.
Eh, business world is fun.
Yeah, it's interesting though. PlayStation, they acquired Bungie for $3.6 billion. That's...
Which is nothing, really, compared to the recent acquisitions.
It really isn't. So here's what's interesting, because it's like Xbox is like, here's our move. We just did this. And then the gaming community is like, all right, Xbox, we see you. PlayStation, what you got? And it's like they expect PlayStation to like make a move because Xbox did something. And
it's like, dude, we got some of the greatest companies in the industry. Why do we need to make a move?
Well, exactly, exactly.
When's the last time any of these companies put out a bad game?
Here's what's also interesting, too, because the CEO of PlayStation, Jim Ryan, he was quoted as saying that the Bungie acquisition was in the works for the last 5 to 6 months and was not done in response to Xbox's recent purchases. He also said that we should expect more acquisitions from PlayStation, which I think is interesting.
But the one thing I'll give Sony is they know who to buy.
Yeah, do you know their list of companies that are under their umbrella?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love the way you said that. You sounded like you were just about to, like, gasm. Say that again.
Oh, yeah.
Damn, that's like word for word. I love it. I love it.
Hey, I can repeat the sounds I make, sir.
All right, do it again.
Oh, yeah.
All right, cool. Run it. Let's go. What do you got?
Run it. Let's go.
What do you
got? Like, I was just going to say, it's like Microsoft, when they go and buy something, they just try and whip out what they got in their pants and then just plop it onto the desk and go, we got you. You just hear a loud thud and it's just a pile of money because they actually just have small down there. But it's just a big old slab of money they pulled out of their pants that they stuff with and say, we got you.
Yeah.
While Sony's just like, don't worry. And they pull it out of their jacket pocket all nice and slick. We got you. And they know who they're buying. They know they don't have to act like they're the big dicks in the industry. They just go, hey, we got you. Do what you need to do. We won't ride your ass. Just make sure you put out something good.
And 9 times out of 10, they do.
Yeah. Name the last bad PlayStation game that came out from a company. Solo for PlayStation. Can you?
We're almost there.
Why are we walking like this?
Resident Evil Survivor?
That was Capcom.
I know, but that it was only for PlayStation.
It was only for PlayStation, but
I'm sorry, I really wanted to say that.
But yeah, how long ago was that, though, even if you count that as an answer?
Yes, that was 1999.
Yeah. Can you name anything sooner than that, where the game was first party, Sony only, and was bad?
No.
Aside from, like, maybe, like, the All-Stars Smash Bros.
And even that wasn't terrible, but you could totally tell that they were trying to copy Nintendo. It was blatantly
It was totally a Smash Bros. Take-off.
Even when they came out with their PlayStation Move controllers, you know that was a blatant copy of Nintendo, and it was not the same as Nintendo. The experience wasn't. Right. Now, even when the PlayStation 3 came out and it was ridiculously expensive and nobody could afford it, they still had some amazing first-party games.
Correct.
So,
Killzone.
Yep. Uncharted.
Last of Us, eventually.
Yeah.
That was at the end of its life, though.
So, I got a list of, and I won't name every single one of them, but I got a list of Sony's first-party studios. Blue Point Games, they did the Demon's Souls remake.
Yeah, they did the Demon's Souls.
They also recently acquired Housemarque Games. They did Returnal.
Well, I can see that as being a good purchase. They put out an amazing game. I still need to go through and finish it.
And then Guerrilla Games is Horizon Zero Dawn and Horizon Forbidden West.
They've always had Guerrilla Games, I thought.
Yeah, it is first party, so yeah.
Because Guerrilla Games is also Killzone.
Oh, yes, that's true. You're right. I forgot about that. But other big ones, too, like Insomniac Games, like the Spider-Man games and Ratchet & Clank. And then Naughty Dog was a big one, Uncharted, Last of Us.
Sucker Punch. Sucker Punch was infamous. And then they did Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, Sucker Punch, Ghost of Tsushima. You're right. Yep.
Okay.
Santa Monica Studios, God of War.
Which is, yeah, God of War. Did they do anything else besides God of War? Oh, hey, I'm up on the Santa Monica website. They're looking for people. Should apply.
You should. Actually, I also read earlier before we started this thing that Kotaku is also hiring, too.
Oh, good luck with that.
If you want to write about games and pop culture. It's totally up my alley, but I've got a good job, so I'm good.
I feel like, I'm not trying to bash, but I feel like you would have to write towards a sponsor that sent you the money.
Probably.
In favor of them.
I would rather write for Paradigm Gaming. I have way too much fun talking about games here.
Yes. Okay. I think it's just God of War because I'm not finding anything else. All they have plastered all over the page is God of War.
Fair enough. Okay, can we talk about Nintendo?
What? What about them? The fact they're only halfway through their Switch life and they're already 5 years behind on tech?
Okay, so I read something about... You're not wrong. You're absolutely right in what you say, especially your approach to how you said it. I don't disagree with any of that. However, you know, we all love Nintendo, but that being said, they... I read this on Kotaku and Nintendo Life about the Japanese Nintendo president talking about these recent acquisitions from Microsoft and Sony. And it was really interesting, his whole take on it. And it was, let's see. So Nintendo's take on all these acquisitions was quoted as saying this: in a recent investors meeting, Nintendo president Shintaro Furukawa was asked about the acquiring game companies and said, quote, "Our brand was built upon products crafted with dedication by our employees, and having a large number of people who don't possess Nintendo DNA in our group would not be a plus."
So in other words, if you are not a part of our family, we do not want you here.
Well, the key takeaway that was Nintendo DNA. If Nintendo purchased a bunch of random game developers, the argument is that it could dilute the overall brand. What makes Nintendo, Nintendo would be watered down. If Nintendo were to acquire a publisher or a studio, it would have to be a company that reflects in its thinking or craft. And I highly agree with that. And when they do acquire companies, it's in Nintendo's best interest to make sure that those companies treat the Nintendo characters and gameplay with care. When Ubisoft did Mario vs. Rabbids, that was a huge step for Nintendo, and it ended up being an amazing game, but the Nintendo was involved with the entire step process of how they wanted their characters to be portrayed while Ubisoft was making it. So Nintendo's very particular and very careful on how people handle their material, and I respect that. I think that's amazing. So that was a very, very interesting response. Like, yeah, you could buy a bunch of stuff, but it's what's that going to do for us if it's not going to show, if they're not going to give us quality? That was my takeaway from that. So I actually respect Nintendo's position for being who they are and what they're doing and knowing who they are and how they want to continue going forward. They don't want to be like Microsoft or Xbox, and they haven't wanted to be like them since the Nintendo Wii. We're like, you guys are going that way with graphics and games, that's fine. We're going to go here with this and end up being like the best selling console of all time. Until recently, because the Nintendo Switch literally just outsold the Wii this week.
PlayStation 5 did what Wii U did. They did it in a year. PS5 outsold the number of Wii U's in a year. They were sold in its entire lifetime.
Which is excellent. Now, if only they can finish getting all their components that they're shorted so they can pump out more consoles and sell even more.
But I'm also going to call BS a little bit on Nintendo and not wanting to put other people underneath their hood to put games on their system, because they have Witcher 3 on the Switch. They have other games on the Switch that don't match their Nintendo DNA.
Well, see, those are third parties, though.
I get that, but at the same time, like, everything's a third party, but they're just here's my thought. Microsoft buys up companies. It's not their DNA that's on those games. It is that developer. They're just being published by that company. They don't have a Microsoft DNA on them other than the fact that they are owned by them, that it's still the company that's making the game. What's the difference in Nintendo bringing a company that doesn't have their DNA on it but still makes a game for their system?
But here's what's different, though, is you still have to represent your game as a Microsoft game, though. You still have to have a level of quality that Microsoft wants to showcase. The only thing that Microsoft is showcasing going so far is literally just, hey, we own you now. But Nintendo's like, we're going to be picky and choosy on what we want because we want ours to reflect our vision. And I don't know what Microsoft's vision is other than literally having every gaming company under its belt.
Okay, so here's where I'll get kicked. Well, I guess, you know, if they don't, I guess not wanting to upgrade their graphics and everything, they're looking to stay in the past anyways, so they're not going to be able to run any of the new stuff because they try to stay in the background.
Yeah, but they also created the Nintendo Switch as one of the best-selling consoles, and it's a unique device that the other companies aren't doing. Well, now the Steam Deck's out, but, you know, that's one thing. But here, take a look at this one. Nintendo purchased Monolith Soft, and And they also purchased Camelot Software Planning. And I was reading this on Kotaku earlier. It's basically the studio behind Mario Tennis and Mario Golf. So they acquired studios that have an expertise, but they're still working in conjunction with them to make sure that when they do stuff with their characters, that it's with Nintendo's vision. And my argument with that is I don't know what Microsoft's vision is. I know what Sony's is, because they're always touting quality, story-driven first-party games.
Which is what you get.
But when I'm getting Microsoft, there's still this gray area of, okay, you don't have exclusives, I can play it on PC, but here's Game Pass. They're pushing Game Pass. Literally, just give us a subscription and play whatever you want. I get that, but I still, when the Xbox 360 came out, that was like the pinnacle and the height of me for Microsoft, where I was part of the Xbox ecosystem, the community, and I thought I knew what Microsoft was all about, but then the Xbox One came out, and it was different and awkward, and now it's Game Pass, and but it's not, they don't have exclusives. So it's like, I don't know where I fit in with all of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Microsoft's just out there to make as much money as possible. It's Bill Gates.
Yeah, fair. I mean,
like that's all you're going to get out of Microsoft. They may have a good system and a good business plan. That's what you're going to get out of Microsoft. A good business plan where you can get a lot for your money.
But that's also why I still respect Nintendo, because they still want to be innovative and create. That's what separates them from the competition.
You know, I just have a huge, massive problem with Nintendo's marketing, always.
Well, I know, but marketing aside, if you just put away the marketing and just look at them like, from an innovative standpoint, from a creative standpoint, they've done some amazing things that is going an opposite direction than Sony or Microsoft, and they have been for years.
Yeah, the only problem I find with Nintendo is all of their stuff tends to be gimmicky.
Yes.
When was the last game where you actually pulled off the joy pads off the side to use them as an actual weapon, maybe Skyward Sword if you felt like it, but you probably tend to leave them on the console more than use them as a weapon. Maybe Elder Scrolls, but again, probably most people left it on the console rather than the thing.
But the difference is the option is there for you if you choose you want to do that, instead of saying, no, we're not going to do
that anymore. But that's why I say it's gimmicky.
True.
It's gimmicky. It's like, everyone is like, oh, that's kind of cool, but I'm not going to use it because it's just simpler to use it on the thing itself.
True.
That's what I mean by gimmicky.
But at the same time, it's still giving players an option to choose how they want to play, though, which I think is amazing. I mean, I still use the Joy-Cons detached from it when I'm playing Mario Golf. Because you can literally swing that thing like a club, and I love that.
Here's my thought on the whole thing, though. Like, overall, like, would it be better if Nintendo spent their time trying to make something that isn't as gimmicky and making sure things are in a more stable state and maybe supporting the community more rather than, you know, shutting everything down? Maybe finding a way to get those people on board with helping them get things made that actually work, like the Nintendo 64 emulation that they had so many issues with, apparently.
They have been improving that, by the way. I posted some videos on that.
They've been improving it, but all slow. When somebody's got an emulator that works just fine on PC, that they could get, like, they could hire that person to help them.
That's fair. They spend
a lot of money and research and development on stuff that is gimmicky and they don't need.
Well, that's not
entirely
true.
That is like on
true.
Every system, too.
It's not that you don't need it. They're literally trying to find innovative ways to play. The whole point, and it's been like this for years, it's like, how can we make this fun? Now, not all of it is successful, but a lot of it is, and a lot of it is trial and error. Then Nintendo is obviously not without its faults, but I think you're missing the point I'm trying to make here. When it comes to the direction and the focus and the vision of each company, Nintendo's like, this is who we are and this is what we like to do. We like to be creative and we like to try new things. And then if Sony's just like, we're basically a movie company and we have video games that are awesome and we have first party games that have made amazing things. And then Microsoft's like, well, we bought everything so we can have Game Pass. Please buy our subscription. It's just a different approach with each one.
Yeah, I can understand that. I just want Nintendo to try and step outside their little gimmicky box. Once. Just like, I just want them to try once. Just make something, like a system, that rivals with, like, a PlayStation Vita. Of this age. Because PlayStation Vita, we all know, was ahead of its time.
It was.
As far as graphically, the screen, the tech that was behind it. The Vita was amazing.
I still feel like the rival to that right now is technically the Switch.
Yeah, but how old is the Vita?
Fair, they only recently came out with an OLED screen on the Switch, and that Vita's had it way longer than that.
Exactly. Like, I just want them to try once to push the boundaries of tech. Just once. just to see how long they can make that system go. Because if they could make the Switch last so much longer in a gaming industry by just giving it a little bit more power, like updating it to the actual current graphical standards that people are living by. They don't have to upgrade the games to be that the graphical standard if they don't want, but at least the games that they put on it will run better because the tech isn't so old.
Okay, I can understand you on that one. And that's also why I didn't buy the OLED version, because all it was did was just a fancier, bigger screen, because the insides are still the same old tech.
Which just tells me that it's going to have less battery life.
Yeah, so I totally agree with you on that aspect. But at the same time, I mean, there's one thing from a design aspect, and there's one thing from a business aspect, and there's another thing from, like, well, this chip shortage that we keep dealing with, you know?
Yeah, I get that, too. That's obvious.
But you can't underestimate the power of the Switch. It's outsold just about everything.
No, I know. I love my... I still say I love my Switch. It's got great games on it, but it's going to get to the point where, like, the new Pokemon game, Arceus, that's got some framey spots in it, dude. Like, yeah. It can't pull some of the stuff. And yeah, optimization can fix that.
I personally don't care much about frames like the whole world is, but that's just me. The only thing that actually bothers me about the whole Pokemon is, like everyone says, the graphics look like they came from the GameCube era, and there's a lot of games out there that look way better than what they're outputting. It's almost like they're not even trying.
Yeah, and I mean, there have been prettier games on the Switch than Arceus.
Oh, absolutely. But then again, I also have to remind myself, too, that Pokemon's owned by the Pokemon Company, and that's under Nintendo.
Yeah.
So I can't give them too much flack.
But again, they're supposed to hold up to that standard of quality that Nintendo wants.
But at the same time, I think that's the standard of quality that Nintendo is still okay with, because Pokemon sells itself.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Pokemon Snap, the new one, is amazing, and that was great quality. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in this new Arceus game, because I don't really play a lot of Pokemon games like that. I'm more interested in, like, the movies and the anime and the cards.
Metroids.
I'm more interested in the Metroids. You know that. Yep. Which, by the way, is becoming one of the best-selling Metroid games of all time. Metroid Dread. They did something amazing with that game, so Nintendo finally did something right.
And I'm just going, by the way, with that note that came out about Metroid Prime 4.
To be determined.
I totally still feel, to this day, 5 years ago, when that first trailer came out with the 4, it was merely done just to appease the audiences. And they had never actually started anything. I am still a firm believer in that.
Nintendo's never done that before either. They always like to wait until they have something. But I think they really wanted to end it on a high note.
Yeah, I am dead set. Like, you would have at least had somebody that found, like, data mine shit that would have put it online saying, hey, this was the canceled bit of Metroid or something. Like, you know that happens.
No,
I
know.
It always happens.
Well, it's interesting that you point that out, too, because it's been 3 years since they announced that they canceled Metroid Prime 4 and started from scratch with a new company, and they're still hiring for that company to continue work on the game.
See, that's why I feel that they never had anything in the first place. It is not hard to get a CG artist to put a Metroid Prime logo in the 4 and just put it on a screen in front of some stars.
They had a completely different company working on Metroid Prime 4, and then they decided to go with Retro Studios instead, and then they started from scratch. And the other thing was the most recent Nintendo Direct, when they were announcing... actually, I think it wasn't the recent Nintendo Direct. When they announced Metroid Prime, or Metroid 5, when they announced Metroid Dread, that was Metroid 5, they did say, like, Metroid Prime 4 is still in development. Please look forward to hearing more about that in the future. And I'm like, okay. I'm glad it's still alive. Thanks for reminding me. Thanks for acknowledging it.
I just remember when that first trailer came out, I'm like, they just did that to appease the audience because the audience totally wanted something Metroid and they didn't give it to them.
Well, after that whole fiasco with Metroid's 30th anniversary that they didn't do shit for, and then they shut down AM2R and countless other things, I think they needed to do something in that moment to just show people what's up. That was
but
also.
Do you remember me saying that, though? Like, they just did that to appease the audience.
Well, at the same time, I think it was more than just appeasing the audience. I think they legitimately had Metroid Prime 4 in development. They had a studio. They had everything ready to go. But for 2 years later, though, they basically apologize and say they had to start from scratch because it didn't meet with their quality of standards. It did not meet the vision they wanted for the game.
We'll never know.
That was the same year they announced Metroid Samus Returns for the 3DS. And that game was excellent, by the way.
Yeah.
I would love for that game to be on Switch.
It's not Prime.
I know, but it's still a great game, though. If there's anything I want Nintendo to do is to still innovate and be creative. But beyond that, you're right. There's so much stuff I still want them to improve on. And I would like them to listen to the community. I really do. But that's another discussion for another time.
Yeah. We should just have one Cogcast session where we just discuss Nintendo and their decisions on marketing and their game decisions. All of the fun stuff that they do.
I'm open to that. However, do you remember the blog I wrote about a shift in the paradigm at Nintendo, right?
Yeah, I do.
I put so much, like, research onto that blog. I wrote so much of how I felt about Nintendo at that point. What was missing and what they need to do better with the community, to do better with themselves. And I'm still very passionate about that piece that I wrote. If you guys are listening and you haven't read it, please go to paradigmgaming.net and click on the Reflections tab. It's the top one, and it's all about Nintendo and the state of Nintendo as of last year. It's still relevant today, in my opinion.
Good stuff.
But yeah, Derp, we can totally discuss Nintendo. I'm all for it. But before we do anything else, we should probably listen to a word from our sponsor.
Yes.
You know, I love that I can say Nintendo and you're like, oh, Nintendo, God, if you only could just stop sucking.
But the bad part is I still love Nintendo. I just think they need to stop sucking in some areas.
I know, it hurts. I love them, but they're terrible. I know, I'm right there with you.
Sort of. It's hard for you to be right there with me.
Well, I still agree with a lot of stuff you're saying. Like, I ranted about Nintendo in a blog because I was upset, right? I mean, people publicly killed Mario on March 10th, Mario Day.
Yeah, they did.
So, I've got opinions, too. I'm right there with you.
But anyways.
What game would you like to erase from all memory of and play again as if it were the first time?
So this is like, I'm still an adult, but you wiped my mind and erased all memory of a game, and then you hand me controller and I play it for the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the problem I had, like, I love this topic. I think it's a great idea. I immediately thought of a couple of games that I would love to erase my memory and play as if it was for the first time. The first game that I thought of was The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. But as I was thinking about that, if you erase my memories of this game, you also take away the hype and the buildup that I had as a kid leading up to its release.
Well, I think this should go on the fact of what game could you... How about this? How about a game that you could go back and experience for the first time again like you did the first time?
Okay, so I just relive the hype.
No, there you go.
Okay. Kind of like Quantum Leap. You send me back into my body
Leap yourself.
Yeah, you send me back to 1998 when the game came out.
Quantum Leap yourself.
Okay. I do this. So Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, okay?
Okay.
Do you remember the hype for this game?
I don't.
Really?
I don't, because I wasn't a huge Zelda person back then. I wasn't big into Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask. I played Ocarina eventually.
Yeah, that's true. You were Genesis PlayStation era, right?
Yeah.
And PC.
Yep.
Okay.
I had a 64. I got the expansion pack thing back in the day, but I never really took a lot of time in the Zelda games.
Okay. Well, when it first came out, it was a big deal. Zelda's always been a big deal. Like, when the first game came out for regular Nintendo, we're like, wow, this is a fun adventure. And then the second game came out and go, wow, this is nothing like the first game. Mm-hmm. And then the Super Nintendo came out and they revolutionized, like, just gaming in general. And A Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past was absolutely mind-blowing. Like, wow, this is probably one of the greatest games I think I've ever played. Next to Super Metroid, of course. So when they finally go to the Nintendo 64, we're like, well, what will a Zelda be like in 3D? Well, you had an idea when we played Mario 64 for the first time Mario went full 3D. And so your imagination just kind of ran wild, like, what would Zelda be like? And the internet was young back then. Like, it was only been out for like a couple of years at that point. Like we got our first family computer with Windows 95 back in 95, 96. Mm-hmm. And game trailers weren't really prevalent on the internet yet. I remember getting a disc in like a GamePro magazine that had trailers of video games on it, but the disc was a CD-ROM. And it took forever to load. And I remember doing this on my grandmother's computer. I just wanted to see 30 seconds of Zelda in motion. And we had to use the QuickTime player. And it worked.
QuickTime.
I was able to see Link riding Epona around Hyrule Castle real quick. And it was like, oh my god, this is the game. But I read about Zelda for years. I got the Nintendo Power subscription during the Nintendo 64 era. And every issue talked about upcoming games, and Shigeru Miyamoto's working on the next Zelda, and here's some screenshots, and then you learn that if you pre-order the game, you could get the gold cartridge. That was huge! And I will never forget the first time that I finally got the game. It was a family event. You remember the apartments that I lived in? The Hamptons on Meridian?
Yes.
So it was me, my brother Sam, and my mom. We had just gotten the game. It's probably from like Software Etc. or something, or EB Games or Electronic Boutique as it was back then.
Yeah, Electronic Boutique.
It came out in November, and I remember putting the cartridge in, and all of a sudden, like mom dimmed the lights, and we blasted the audio, and then. And then it was just like, we were in awe. We were like, oh my god, it's here. We're playing it, and there's a forest, there's 3D, there's swords. Oh my god! It was huge.
Do, 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 do.
Exactly. We had chills. We watched in awe. We played this game in awe. I remember my brother was small, and he was so excited to be there with me.
Oh, I remember your bro. He was tiny.
He was. And when you finally play the game and beat it was just an epic story, an epic grand adventure, and it was nothing I've ever played before in my life. I would love to erase my memories and relive that again for the sake of not just the nostalgia of playing and beating a game, but for the experience that it took to get to that game, to finally playing that game. Does that make sense?
Yes. The hype buildup was epic, and it paid off in the end as well.
Yeah, and I have not had a game... Like, I've had a lot of game releases that were hyped and had a great build-up and paid off, but this was one of the most impactful games in my life, was Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Fair.
How about you, sir? What you got?
Well, I'll go with my earliest one. MechWarrior. MechWarrior, the original, on PC.
MechWarrior. Ooh.
Played that with my dad all the time, even though it was a single-player game, but we'd always play it together. The thing that sold it the most, I could go back and I wish I could, at that age, experience again, was that opening cutscene. Because it was like the first full 3D CG-created animated cutscene for like a computer game that I remember. And it wasn't like, you know, Space Ace or Dragon's Lair, where it was just a running cartoon,
right,
or whatever that you played. It was just like the opening cutscene. It was full CG mechs, like, fighting in a ravine or canyon area with hills around and just blowing shit up.
Yeah.
And it was like a heartfelt thing where people were getting blown up. And it was, I mean, it, you know, it wasn't like for kids, but it was like people were dying. So, you know. But it's like dated as hell now, obviously, but then you get to play inside the cockpit for the actual game for the first time. It was like a first experience with a 3D world, just being inside of a mech, stomping around and blowing stuff up was just amazing.
Hell yeah.
And I was doing it with my dad, so that made it that much better. It was just a lot of fun because I was probably like 10 or 11, maybe. When did MechWarrior come out?
That is a good question. I don't remember.
That's a lie.
What did it say?
1989.
Wow.
I was 5 years old.
Wow.
Maybe 6 when my dad got it. So never mind. Yeah, the first game was a long time ago.
Wow. That is epic.
So I probably played that on the computer with my dad around 6 or 7 years old.
Okay.
But it was just... The main thing was the opening cutscene. Then the next one would have been Diablo. But I played MechWarrior before Diablo. But the opening scenes and any CG that Blizzard did or will ever do is top-notch. 11 out of 10s. But that opening cutscene for Diablo was great, too.
You know, that was also what's cool about games back then that, people get excited about to see these high computer-generated graphic cutscenes. It's like, it's almost like a treat. Like, oh my god, look how amazing this is. And then you go to the gameplay. But for an opening cutscene to impact you the way that did, that you still remember it so well, and the fact that you got to share a moment with your dad is huge.
Many moments.
Yeah. That is huge. That is awesome.
Because if it's one thing my dad and I love is explosions.
Kaboom!
Yep. Many kaboom.
All right. Well, you said you wanted to think of up to 2 games, right?
Yes, 2 games.
All right. What do you think my other game is?
Resident Evil 2.
Yep. Congratulations, sir. You are absolutely correct. Resident Evil 2.
And I'm just going on the basis of that because it was the first Resident Evil game you played. It's your most loved series now, aside from Metroid and maybe Zelda.
Yep.
And it was the one that I introduced you to.
Exactly.
So it was your first one.
Dude, you hit the nail on the head. 10 for 10 on every single one of them. Damn, you know me very well.
I try.
Well, I also, at some point, wrote a blog about this. At least I included this part of the story in it. It was called, like, a Nintendo Kid's Journey to the Sony PlayStation. And my mind got totally changed when I was introduced to a game that was horror, scary, monsters, and not kid-friendly like Nintendo. Like, I literally just met you, and we started hanging out, and you show me this game, and I literally just get sucked into this universe. I was so addicted at the jump scares. I was excited to be scared from a video game.
I think the first scene you had was the crocodile.
Yeah?
I think that might have been somewhere around the first scene you saw the game and you just saw a huge crocodile chasing you. And...
Oh, yeah. You were like saving me. Well, you were showing me like your most recent save. Like, here, check this out.
Yeah. I want to say that it was probably the crocodile, but I could be wrong. It might have just been a random area.
Still, though. I mean, I was completely captivated by this, and I got to learn how to play a game with fixed camera angles and try to avoid zombies, and it had real guns, and it was scary, and it had a very haunting soundtrack and a very unique atmosphere, and full voice acting and full CG cutscenes all over this game. I was playing Nintendo games, and all of a sudden, I'm playing a PlayStation game that says, here's the future. You're welcome.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Seriously. If I could go back and re-experience that, I would love to re-experience Resident Evil 2 all over again. But you know what that would also mean? I get to re-experience me meeting Derp and him introducing me to the game, so there's some fun into that.
That was near the start of us meeting each other, wasn't it?
Yep, it was.
I corrupted you early. At least it didn't take you 5 years to play that one.
Well, that's fair. I you're right. I mean, I lived in the Hamptons, you lived in Meridian Furs, so you were walking distance, and when we started hanging out at each other's houses, it was just like, okay, I'm going to Derp's after school, we're going to play some games. All right, see ya, be home by this date. Be home by this time.
Actually, I'm pretty sure be back by this date was more accurate.
That's true. I'd spend the night at your house back-to-back sometimes and stay up till 4 in the morning drinking Jolt Cola and Mountain Dew.
Pissing off my mom.
Yep, laughing my ass off. That's good stuff.
That wasn't until later, though, because we were living in the Red House down on Shaw Road.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Shaw Road. Holy shit.
That's where you saw Resident Evil for the first time.
Oh, I forgot about Shaw Road. Oh, man. I'm starting to lose my memory.
You know a great thing about Alzheimer's?
You meet new people every day. At least I got you to remind me. Yeah, I forgot about that. You're right. But hey, you eventually moved to Meridian First and you live next door to me, so there's that.
All right, so we'll go for my second one. And as much as bad stuff happened during my recollection of playing this game, I would not exchange the starting of playing it and starting in your beginning zone and that opening cutscene of when you first start up the game for anything. And yes, I'm the Blizzard fanboy, and it is World of Warcraft.
Wow.
I played all the Warcraft games prior to World of Warcraft. You actually played World of Warcraft before me. It had been out a year and a half at least before I tried it. But for obvious reasons, I'll just leave them out of it. But there were people involved that I'm not too happy about. But the game itself, just the world it had, there were no loading screens. It was just a big-ass game that you could venture around in freely. The only loading screens were going to the other continent. And dungeons, big deal.
That's fair.
But just huge world. And that opening cutscene, again, Blizzard top notch, 11 out of 10 CG cinematics. Showing Ironforge, showing the dwarf, the elf running through the forest, turning into the Black Panther or whatever it was. It was a feral cat. Yeah. But,
The snow on the dwarf's beard.
Yeah, the snow on the dwarf's beard. Like, just the snow with the Ironforge and the dwarves in general.
I love the Ironforge.
The rocky hills with the Moo Moo Men, the race, the Tauren. Holy crap. Alzheimer's is a hell of a thing.
Are you feeling okay, Turf?
No, I forgot what they were called for a second. My bad, they're the Tauren.
Did you get too close to sin again? Are you still feeling...
I got too close to sin again.
I got too close to sin, and my head's all foggy-like.
That's okay, I'm getting groans of dissatisfaction behind me, so...
Yeah, we need to have you re-experience World of Warcraft as if it was the first time.
Like, I wish I could experience that back in its golden years again. Just Burning Crusade and having all the guild members together that I had in End of Burning Crusade and Wrath of Lich King. That was probably one of the best times I've ever had in gaming, period. Is just having that guild and going on raids, like 10 people, and playing that raid for hours on end, trying to beat bosses and learning it, and finally getting past it, and everyone's super freaking excited. And it was just the energy was great. I miss that.
The golden age of gaming, man. I feel you.
But maybe we'll get that again with Lost Ark. I don't expect it, but it would be fun.
You know, we'll create a new golden age. We'll create new memories, and it'll be great.
Again, Lost Age. Looking to be on the Regulus server. Paradigm guild name, hopefully.
Lost Age?
Lost Ark. Did I say age?
You said Lost Age.
Oops. Lost Ark. Regulus. Bring back the Golden Age.
You know what we are, Derp?
Nerds.
We're old.
We are old. Memory's starting to go.
Yep.
We're gonna start yelling at kids on the goddamn lawn.
You mentioned a game from 1989. I mentioned a game from the Nintendo 64 Golden Era. And the PlayStation 1 golden era. We're old.
And majority of the people who are in our community and is currently in the bed behind me weren't even born then.
Nope.
Oh, I don't think. Oh, you're 80. Never mind. She was. She was a year old.
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter how old you are or what flag you raise for what console or community or company. The fact that you love video games and we're here talking about video games and everybody listening to us talk about video games, I think we're all doing just fine.
We're doing just fine.
Except for Derp and his, got too close to sin.
Sin's toxin got to you, but you're still alive. Praise be to Yevon.
I couldn't remember what a frickin' Moo Moo Man was called.
Moo Moo Man. I'm gonna remember that one.
I had to call it Moo Moo Man because I couldn't think of what the actual race name was for whatever reason. And all WoW people, including L, are probably gonna hate on me when they listen to this.
Hey, Derp.
Okay, Murloc Man. I'll never forget the name of Murloc.
All right, just checking.
Tauren. It was torn, okay?
Yeah.
Torn.
It's torn me apart when I'm with you.
Oh, good God. Get the f*** out. Holy hell, man.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
That was disgusting. I actually almost threw up. Might still happen.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Good Lord, man. That, no.
Well, Derp, what's next up for us?
Lost Ark, aka Lost Age, because I'm dumb. With Derp and Blue. I'll try and host it. We'll see how the internet's working, if it's okay. Been fixed.
Okay, we'll test it.
But I will definitely be streaming a lot of Lost Ark if internet is working next week.
Okay. I'm still working on trying to get through Conker's Bad Fur Day, which I am absolutely loving, playing it for the first time in my life. That's about all I got at the moment.
Yep. Otherwise, I'll be trying to beat Control. But I think once Lost Ark comes out, Control is going to be put on the side burner.
Okay.
For time being.
Yeah, we'll have to try out Lost Ark, and maybe we can find a dedicated time to do that. Because I know you have more time available at your disposal to play multiple games. But we can figure that out. But I'm still aiming for Sundays for my normal weekly streams. And
okie doke.
But yeah, other than that, I'm working on some other projects for Paradigm Gaming that I will not name on this podcast, but for the listeners, more fun videos are coming. I will leave it at that.
It's Blue sending nudes.
I do not want to get banned on YouTube.
That's why you got to point everyone to your OnlyFans. Link in bio.
Oh, this guy's got jokes.
It's just Blue playing in the tub. Because he loves water.
With a rubber ducky. A blue rubber ducky.
He just confirmed it. He's got rubber ducky. It's the only one that gives him lots of fun.
Well, on that note, Derp, thank you for a wonderful podcast. It's good to be back.
What you said.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and end this thing here. Derp, when can you catch us?
At the drop? Alzheimer's is a hell of a thing. Oh, Paradigm. There we go.
At the drop of a paradigm.